What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're gonna be? I think it's that right there. It's grit.
And we're back to the All Grit podcast. Welcome in, everybody. I am your humble host, Caleb, joined alongside me with my boys, Adrian, the OC, Clay, the stat guy, looking fresh. Everyone's wearing lids, some flat, some rounded. Those of you on YouTube, you can vote for who you think has the best lid at the All Grit podcast. Go ahead and put that in. So anyway, boys, we're going to get right into it. We had the NFL draft. How'd you guys, let's just do a quick round table. What, you know, just thoughts on the draft. What do you think?
Oh, Lord.
I had only one request to Brett Holmes. I said the first two rounds, give me trenches. Like, give me defensive line, give me offensive line. And I'm a happy camper. That's all I needed. And that's what I got. So I can't complain. I'm happy. Like, obviously, everybody wanted an edge, maybe first three rounds. But I'm super happy with Tyleek. We got a defensive tackle and offensive lineman who are just going to be plug and play. They're starters day one right now as of today. So I'm happy, man. Can't complain.
I kind of thought the same thing. I mean, wanting an edge, but when you have the 28th pick, I like how he didn't like just get far down the line in an edge, but he got like one of the best of the next position needed. So I really liked what he did. Like me and Caleb talked earlier, last week was not crazy flashy, but definitely with the season we just had, we definitely see what depth does, and we got some depth in this team.
All right. Well, as you know, you guys are the slappies, so of course you're going to say all that stuff. So we'll get into it to see how I disagree in the pod here. So all right, here we go. Not too much of a disagreement, just a little bit. All right, first round, Lions were on the clock. They did not trade up. They did not trade down. All of a sudden, we heard this with the first pick, 28th first round draft, 28th pick. The Detroit Lions select defensive tackle Tyleek Williams out of Ohio State. So,
Oh, Lord.
6'3", 334 pounds, a massive interior disruptor who will line up next to Aleem McNeil and bookend Aiden Hutchinson. Williams is known as a run stuffer with violent hands and the skills to push blockers into the backfield. So did you guys look at any of his tape before, or was it just like immediately after like I did?
It was immediately after. I'm going to be honest. Like when he said Tyleek Williams, I was like, who?
Right.
I was like, what?
I know, dude. Same.
But I mean, there's so many college players you can't keep up. And everyone's draft board is different. But once I looked at the tape, I know, Caleb, you and Clay, you guys did a little episode right after the draft the first night. But, man, he's a mauler. Like, he's somewhere in between. Like, there's so many comps. He's like another Aleem McNeil. He's like between a DJ Reader and Aleem McNeil. Like, I feel like he's a blend of both their styles. Yep. Or he's a run stopper that can create opportunities for a sack. It's not like he's a sack master or anything, but he'll get one or two throughout the season when we need it.
Couldn't agree more. He is a blend of Aleem McNeil and Reader. Like, body shape. Watching his tape, he does do one thing better than I think a lot of people know about or give credit to. But when he can't make the play, his hands go up. Did you watch that on his tape? I believe he had 12 knockdown passes in Ohio State.
Gotcha.
Which is, you know, if you average that out, I don't know if that was over, I doubt that's over one season. That's probably his whole career there. But he's getting his hand up if he can't make the play, which just I love that. That's smart play. And you know what? For every one hand you put up, you're only going to get one out of, you know, four or five that actually hit your hand. But when it does, it just, it takes the momentum off that drive. And it's just,
even like, if you don't, you're bugging the quarterback. He's like thinking about it, trying to throw around it.
Right.
He at least hesitates.
Right. Yeah. You're thinking, I mean, like, play? You're 6'4" and you got another 3 foot. So there's 7, 8, 9, you know, you're close to 10 foot with that. That's ridiculous. Even thinking
and even
about
if you
that.
Don't knock it down, you're still going to just, you could disrupt the pass. So,
Yeah. He's throwing around you. And then all of a sudden there's Branch noticing that. Oh, you're throwing it in the wrong way. Let me go and grab that. So your thoughts on that, Clay? I mean, we kind of touched on it that night, but.
Well, what a great guy to have sub in for McNeil for that first half part of the season when he's gone. So you have a guy who mimics the player that's out. So by the time McNeil comes back in, man, if all health goes well, we're looking really good on that line. I like it.
And even future speaking, like this year, you know, he can come along slow and give somebody a break, or he can start because McNeil is out. But you know, next year we're not gonna have Reader. Like this is probably his last year here. So plus he's getting older. So it's like, so now you have Aline, the Dream, and you got Tyleek that are gonna be best friends for the next 5 years at least, right? And then Hutch is gonna get his extension. So there's three. So So it's like Holmes is building that line. There's three staples. Now it's just who's that last edge going to be, which we'll get into as the season goes on.
And I had no idea this guy was kind of like on the radar for the first round, but the Philadelphia Eagles were trying to trade up. They made an offer with the Lions to try to trade up to the 28th spot, but the Lions said no, they stayed put because they knew that the Buffalo Bills were also very interested in Tyleek. And I don't know if you guys got the interview with Tyleek afterward. He said that the Bills had told him at a workout that if he was still there at 30 or 29, whatever pick Buffalo was at, they were going to pick him. So I'm glad that the Lions stayed with their guns and like got their guy, didn't trade back. Otherwise, probably the Buffalo Bills would have taken him. And they ended up taking a defensive tackle in the second round. So that kind of reiterated the point that they were going to take him. And, they got their guy. So if you look at Brad Holmes' first round draft every single year, it's nothing but hit after hit after hit, Pro Bowler after Pro Bowler. So I hope this guy becomes a Pro Bowler on the team. That'd be awesome to have a tackle.
That'd be a good problem to have, right?
Yep.
Was he in for the top 30 visit, Adrian?
He was. He was on that list.
So let's see, to Adrian with his,
because remember, friends,
the OC called that whoever comes in on a top 30 is who Brad Holmes is picking. So applause to Adrian for bringing in that. Now, that doesn't always happen, which we'll see later on in the draft.
Correct.
With the first, we'll give you the props. All right, let's get into the second night of the draft. All of a sudden, Brad Holmes. No, Terrion Arnold. Did he? No, he made the second round pick, correct? Or he made the third round pick, correct?
He made one of them. He was out there.
he made the third round. So let's see. The second pick, the Detroit Lions select guard Tate Ratledge out of Georgia.
Georgia.
Your thoughts?
Man, we went heavy from Georgia. I was not expecting that. We'll get into it later. Three picks from Georgia. I thought that was cool. But I love this pick. Tate Ratledge. He's got the mullet. He's got the face as an O-line. Typical alignment. Like if you could build an O-lineman on NFL Madden, dude, that's what he would look like. And he's a mauler. Like his RAS score, which is his relative athletic score, was like, you know, jumping, bench, just a bunch of athletic metrics. The guy almost got a perfect score of 9. He got 9.96 out of 10, which is insane. Like, this guy's jumping high. He's just an athletic beast. So I can't wait to watch him in the run game the most. to just chase after his blocks and get some holes open for Jahmyr Gibbs, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. It was a good pick.
And speaking of Brad Holmes has really dug into the Georgia and Bama too, both teams. That's really where he has landed his players. And I couldn't agree more with just making those holes for Gibbs, man. And this guy, he really wants it. You know, he wants to do that. He's the right guy for it. And like you said, he just fits the Lions type from head to toe. So mm-hmm. I really like the pick. And I think we just had kind of vice versa. Like we could have gotten a guard in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of flopped him around, but I like it. He's sticking. Holmes, Brad sticks to what he wants and he gets what he wants and mm-hmm. he has a plan. So he's sticking with it.
Yep.
All right, boys, I got some numbers for you on this pick. This is slowly becoming my favorite pick just because not only the mullet, but let me
read it up, right? You trade up three spots for this one.
Let's see.
Brad Holmes, by the way, traded three times his draft to go up to get the guy he wanted. I'm pretty sure the second round he traded up three spots because the Ravens were also interested in Tate Ratledge. He wanted to get ahead of them. That's the rumor that they were going to pick him at that point, and he didn't want to take any chances.
Eagles GM Howie Roseman and Brad Holmes are. I think they're some of the best GMs in the league right now. Like they're just, I mean, you can throw in the Chiefs GM, but like, my goodness, they are just right hand in hand. So let me read this stat to you. 2 years, Tate's last 2 years starting in Georgia, SEC football, he logged over 1,300 offensive snaps. Now I want you to think 2 years, 1,300 offensive snaps. How many sacks did he give up out of 1,300? I'm not even going to answer. Two. Two. Two.
That's pretty good, man.
Think of that, bro. Yeah. That's a starter. He played in SEC. He didn't play.
Yeah.
He didn't play
with Scrubs. Like, yeah, he's playing top tier.
What used to be known as the West Virginia play? Atlantic and no, bro. He didn't even play Big Ten. Sorry, SEC football. Yep. That's a little bit bigger. Okay. Yep. And he's playing Alabama. He's playing Tennessee.
I mean, in practice, he's playing against Mykel Williams and the other, the top two edges that went.
Right.
He was playing against James Pierce from Tennessee in the SEC.
Exactly, bro.
So, yeah.
So you're talking about a guy that is just like we talked about, and honestly, guys, when it's training camp and we're there watching, and the coaches are watching, Glasgow as a veteran, as a 10 plus year veteran, he's not safely a starter.
No, next year. Bro, he's not. Like he's Mahoney not. He's going to be chomping at the bit because I feel like Ratledge, he's in at right guard. Like
right. And that's Glasgow's spot because he switched over to left last year, didn't he? To cover.
Yeah.
And he didn't play as well. So, like, right is his position. So, I'm telling you right now, Glasgow and Ratledge are going to be fighting for starting position on that line, which is just it's awesome, bro. And it's setting that offensive line up to just keep going for years to come. You got Mahoney. Yeah. Where did we get him in that sixth round, bro?
Mahoney last year, correct. Sixth round.
Like you're pulling your and he did.
He played well this past season. Yeah, filling in. So he's going to be chomping at the bit, like challenging for a spot. And we haven't even gotten to our fifth round pick, Miles Frazier, another guard. So I'm just like looking at this overall picture, like Caleb's saying, we are going to have depth this year on the O-line, and I love it. Like it almost feels like he's doing a complete remodel of that backup room. And it's going to be strong. Like if a guy goes down, we shouldn't be sweating too much because they're going to have some really good guys to fill in.
And just giving guys rest breaks, just if you do that, you're not getting hurt so much. So maybe if you're play a little less and swap guys in and out, because their offense is going to be on the field a lot this year. So,
well, there was some live audio of Colby Sorsdale when that draft pick was made.
No. Yeah, dude, Colby might be losing his job, man. Even as a backup, like now instead of a second seed, he's like a third stringer,
bro. You know what? What's that scripture that talks about the copper turning into iron, iron turning into silver, silver turning into gold? It's getting better and better, boys.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think we like the second round pick. Big boy out of Georgia, Tate Rettledge. So like Adrian called for, he said, I just want an offensive lineman and I want a defensive lineman. And we got him in one and two. And then all of a sudden, round three comes about. Now, this is the one where jaws drop and futures are either made or dismayed by this pick. No, I wouldn't even say that. I would just say I love the pick. All right, Lions are on the clock.
They pick. How do you feel about it?
Yes, I love the pick. Isaac Tesla out of Arkansas.
Out of pick. Let's go.
Out of Hudsonville. Yeah, Hudsonville, Michigan. He's a Michigander. Played ball about 10 minutes down the road from where we live, me and Adrian.
Yeah.
Just
went to Hillsdale. Fast.
Let's do his stats real quick. And I think this is wrong. This says 6'3". I think he's actually 6'4". 6'4", 213 pounds. Started at Hillsdale College in Michigan. Then went over to Arkansas. Was a standout at the Senior Bowl with athletic traits and intangibles that the Lions seek.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely going to start on special teams right away, but he could be a little bit of a project moving forward. So,
and hey, Caleb, how many drops did he have in college?
How many drops did he have in college? Let me see. Is there a drop for that? Nope. There's not any drop for that. I'll tell you, zero. He played 4 years in college and has zero dropped passes.
I love it.
You mean to tell me him and Amon-Ra aren't going to sit there after practice on the jugs and just, I mean, I'm going to call them right now. I'm calling it. Their new nicknames are Ebony and Ivory. For the next 4 years, bro. We got Ebony and Ivory.
We drafted the opposite of Josh Reynolds, right? Like this guy has hands.
Yep.
On that, gonna drop anything.
Oh, that's harsh. He's also Reynolds had him by 3 inches, didn't he?
I don't know how tall.
Yeah, Reynolds was tall, man. He was like 6'6", 6'7".
But I think Tim Patrick is going to help out this kid a lot too. That big body.
Yep.
I think what a
teach him how to use the body.
Yep. I like his stats. He had 34 catches for 331 yards, and then he returned the next year with Arkansas. Got 28 receptions for 545, including they had a bowl game, and he had 3 catches for 107 yards in that bowl game. So you can show up when he needs to.
He's a deep threat.
Yep.
And isn't that crazy? Like, yeah, you look at his tape, and you think that because of I don't know. He just doesn't look like he's 6'4 on the field just because NFL, you know, college players are so big, but like he looks like your average Cooper Kupp running routes and stuff, but he's not. Like he's more of a who's Cooper Kupp's buddy over there in LA. The wide receiver with the curly brown hair.
Yeah, Nakua.
Puka Nakua. Yeah,
cool. Yeah, there you go. My bad.
Like I'm watching his tape and I'm like, I think he's got more Puka in him than
Yeah. Like the athleticism. Like Puka's a bigger guy, you know, like a huskier guy. But like again, this guy, his relative athletic score, testing, like jumping, like everything, 9.93. Like this dude's a baller when it comes to just his athleticism. watching his tape, I feel like what he can get better at is his route running to get crisp and getting off the line. Like once he gets those two things, dude, he's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about J-Mo running deep on one side, but then this guy running deep on the other side, you know, if you got a single high safety, like you're done.
Yeah.
Like he's either going to burn you one side or the other. So I think it's a great addition for the future.
So do I. And like same thing. He doesn't have to be great day one. And that's what's great about the depth we're building is.
Yeah. Because Tim Patrick's just on a 1-year deal. So.
Yep.
And, for a and Khalif, he's getting older. Khalif Raymond, you know, he might lose a step or two. So it's time we get him.
See,
but, all right, so what do you guys think of the, so we traded up, we traded basically around cause we were like 32 spots below us, basically around we traded up and we traded up a third round pick and then we switched third round picks next year. So what did you guys think of that draft compensation to be able to get this guy?
That is my only, that's my only hiccup on this whole deal is I feel like Brad overpaid on this one. Unless this dude to give up
is the guy.
He did lose, he did lose the, you know, cause they have a draft chart, right? So like one pick is worth so many thousand compared to 28 pick is, so there's draft compensation and points value. So the Lions definitely lost on the point value on this, but if this dude is can take over in 2 years when J-Mo's gone and there'd be no miss in play, no step back, then it's terrific. Like I'll give up that third pick, right? And it's awesome that he gets in two, like he literally, guys, we don't need him to start. Like he's got 2 years to build chemistry with Jared Goff. So when J-Mo does realize we're not picking up his next year, you know, his next contract, this dude slides in and we got 3 years of team control at a low.
It's another leverage for that negotiation, I guess. But
and if he can catch day one, I mean, it took J-Mo some time. So if he can just go out there and just, man.
But just like J-Mo, just like J-Mo learned how to run his routes better, this dude can learn how to run his routes a little crisper.
Yeah, for
sure. And you have Amon-Ra, one of the best route runners in the NFL to teach you. Like, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I thought the compensation for it was rich too. Like, I don't really know who else, what other teams had Tesla on their radar that they felt they needed to jump that much to get him. A lot of people don't think that anyone else is going to draft him. Like, they could have stayed put where they were to draft this kid. And, you know, they gave up another third round pick. It's a two-edged sword. Like it's a two-edged sword with the thinking of going up to get your guy. Cause like in the second round, Brad trades up, gets a great pick. I think it was good value for going up three picks to make sure you get your guy. But then you do it in the third round like this. I mean, think of other past drafts where Brad Holmes has traded up for a guy that we were like, I'm thinking of Broderick Martin like 2 years ago. And this dude, I think his time in Detroit might be ending pretty soon after drafting Tyreek Williams. Like, I think Broderick Martin, this is a make it or break it year this year for him because we have a deep D line now. Sorry to get sidetracked, but you know he was a where it was like he traded up for something where everyone else was like, I don't think anybody was going to draft him this round. Like, he could have waited, and you paid a kind of expensive price to do that,
right?
So it kind of gave me the same vibes as this Tesla pick.
Yep, absolutely. I felt the same way. Clay, you like the?
Oh yeah, when you're Super Bowl champions and you're, you know, you're a third round pick, you know. So
there you go. Hey, real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts because the person that came up and called Tesla to the Lions, I got some audio here. I want you boys to listen. I want to get your reaction. All right.
1 year ago on this weekend, I cried because I thought I was going to be a Packer. But the Kings of the NFC North came and saved me. Detroit, baby, one prize.
Wow.
Hi. Oh, I cut it off. But what'd you boys think of TA out there?
I love it. People want to be here. Like, people want to play here. Like, we are a destination. Like,
yeah.
Let's get a shirt made for Clay, bro, because he just keeps saying that. We're a destination. People want to play here. I'm going to get you shirts.
We are a destination, man.
We're a destination.
Yeah.
We're not a resting stop no more. We're not the guy that will draft people and then they bounce after 3 years.
Yep. So that was day two. We got a wide receiver. There were some rumors here and there that they were going to draft a wide receiver. So,
yeah,
it didn't surprise me. Like, oh, they draft a wide receiver. It was more of like this guy because I had no idea who he was either. But I heard that he did really good in the Senior Bowl. He outplayed everyone else. That's what made him stand out to get drafted. Yeah. And then, of course, his interview. So,
and I think this is the point where I got mad. And I don't know if it was this one or if it was with Tate. No, it must have been this one. So, Mike Green, when did he go? He went like right after Isaac Tesla, right?
I feel like he went in the second round, didn't he? He went to the Ravens.
Did he go in the second?
Yeah. Late second.
Okay, so it was right after we drafted Tate Ratledge then.
Yep.
Because I remember texting you guys, I'm like, all right, 57. Yeah, I think Mike Green might have won it like 60 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Royce, we better hope that we don't rue the day that Mike Green becomes basically, you know, the next.
Even like a Pro Bowl.
Touch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, and that's too, it's like if you go Mike Green there, all of Detroit as happy as can be. You know, Detroit is on the fence. Like, if you guys are watching, listening to some of the podcasts and radio stations in Detroit, like, they're not happy with this draft.
Yeah, there's some bad grades out there. Yeah,
They wanted a defensive end early, not in the sixth.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted 1, 2, or 3.
Yep. Brad did say in his interview, like, he was trying to trade up in the second round for a guy, and it just didn't happen. So when it came closer, they you know, their guy must have went. So I'm thinking maybe it was like a Nick Scarton or one of those early round two guys that went. And so then they went to plan B with Tate Ratledge after the guy got picked.
And everybody still says he's awesome, Tate Ratledge. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm happy with those two picks.
Yeah. All right, boys. We're already down to our fourth pick, which is actually the fifth round. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
With the fifth round pick, 171 pick, guard out of LSU, Miles Frazier. Once again, does anybody know anything about him?
So what I do know is that LSU, Louisiana State, they had the top offensive line in college football this year rated. The first lineman to go in the entire draft, the first round, Will Campbell, I think. Was he their left tackle on that line, Louisiana State? And so Miles was part of that group that, you know, did amazing this year. So Brad got one guy from that line to be able to add depth to our offensive line room. So I don't mind it. Like, you got a really good pick in the fifth round. I know there were some other teams that wanted him. I've listened to other podcasts, some other teams, they were mad that we got Miles Frazier in the fifth round. He was projected
to go in the third, right?
I believe so. Yeah, he did fall. Yeah. He did fall. So it was good value at five.
Right. Brad's sitting there. He goes, this dude's supposed to be going in the third. We've already gotten a guard, but hey, I don't know about Glasgow, right? And I don't know if who's the other sixth round
we just got?
Mahogany, was that a one-hit wonder or, you know, so I'm going to cover my assets. So, bam.
Yep.
Picked him up.
Yep.
So, the only downside that I'm seeing with Mike Frazier, you know, 6'5", 317, the only thing it says, his lack of elite athleticism can't be forsaken there. So, he's not going to pull as much and run like a Sewell, right? Okay. Or like, he's just a good guard that's going to stand. He's probably a great pass blocker, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the best run blocker. Yeah. So.
And we'll he trained with Tate getting ready for the draft too. I'm not sure if you guys saw that or not. So.
No, that's cool.
So they're actually teammates. So they both have a lot in common. You know, they both want to start early for the Lions. So.
Yep.
it's cool that they know each other already. So,
was that down at the Senior Bowl they did that?
They just said preparing for the draft.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not exactly sure, but
yeah. I mean, now that we're in the fifth round, like honestly, if they just get a good player, I don't care what position. I know we doubled up on guard after Ratledge, but you know, I don't mind it as long as it's a good player. Brad seems to pick good guys in the fifth round.
So once again, to play devil's advocate, what could you have gotten in the fifth round at defensive end? Because all of Detroit is still clamoring for a defensive end. Well, Lions don't go defensive end. They go guard. But then sixth round rolls around. In the sixth round, 196th pick. Who's even available at this time? Brothers, we have Ahmed Hassanin.
Whatever.
Hassanin. He's Ahmed. Egyptian.
Yes, sir.
He looks like Adrian. He is 6 foot two, 267 pounds. He weighs what Hutch weighs right now, boys.
He's a big boy. He's raw.
Yeah.
He's a project.
Grew up in a former resident of Egypt. He turned himself into a football player, very raw, very new to the game. But Hassanin has the kind of intangibles and motor to make it in a place like Detroit. So this pick automatically starts to make Lions fans feel better. A defensive end, they see his body size. They see, if you watch his tape, they start to compare his motor to a Hutch, like, right? Like nonstop, gonna go after the quarterback. But like you said, he's very raw. So it reminds me of raw defensive end from Africa, Nigeria. What was his name, guys? Oh, just
from the Lions?
Yes. We drafted him back in like 15.
Iggy?
Yeah. Ziggy Ansa. Yep. Ziggy Ansah. So Ziggy started very much just like this. Like he just started playing in like college, like never played in high school.
Yeah.
Never played anything. So, you know, Ziggy was awesome. He just was always injured or couldn't stay on the field, you know? So hopefully this guy it's given me the Ziggy feel, like very raw, but very talented, which is like, okay, let's see what Hutch can teach them, and let's see what the defensive coach can teach them, and all that fun stuff.
And also, go ahead, Clay.
It brings out that he's the only FBS defensive lineman to have more than 15 tackles for loss in each of the last two seasons.
One more time.
He's the only FBS defensive lineman to have more than 15 tackles for loss in each of the last two seasons.
So that's good because it's like he might not get to the quarterback, but he's sacking running backs behind the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Right. That's what that means.
Yeah, exactly. What's funny is out of all our draft picks, he's the only one that I knew like before the draft. Like when they said his name, I knew exactly who it was. I had seen his tape. He'd been on a SportsCenter like top 10 highlight during the season. They're like, oh, check this guy out from Boise State. Like, he's never played football before. And it was like a highlight him of having like two sacks in one game. But yeah, he's raw. Like, if you listen to his draft call, like, this guy's like, coach, I'd die on the field for you. Like, this guy plays with his hair on fire. Like, he was getting me pumped. Like, let this guy on the field, like, just let him do his thing, man.
I thought just the same thing. I heard him on the phone, man. I was just like,
he's a Dan Campbell guy for sure. He's ready to go. And what I love is Dan Campbell hired Casey Rogers this year to be our defensive line coach. This guy's been in the league for like 20 plus years. So he's Ahmed's going to have a great teacher to kind of help him develop since he's so raw into a good. What I envision for him is at least hopefully he's a good like second stringer. Like if we can still find our first string, but then it's like, you know, we put him on a third down. We know that, you know, he's got a pass rush. Maybe we can put him at in like for those situations that we could use him in.
So let's think of that. So you got, okay, starting from right going left, you got Hutch. Let's just plug in McNeil. Let's plug in Tyreek. Mm-hmm. And or Reader. And then you have who's on our other side there. I can never remember his name because I don't really like him. He always gets
injured. From Cincy? No, we already said Rager.
Doggone.
Davenport? No.
Davenport, thank you.
Yeah.
So you got Davenport on the far left. So, yeah, if Davenport, like, can play his three downs
all season.
Exactly, bro. But if he can play, even if Davenport gets hurt, which he's going to, you got to plug in, not a plug in, but you got a defensive end right there. So, granted, you got Josh Pascal that could play over there, right?
Yeah.
You got Levi Onwuzurike that you, not, yep. you screwed me up last time.
Onwuzurike. Yeah.
He always likes to add syllables. Levi Onwuzurike. But I mean, that defensive line is starting to like stack up.
It is. It's going to be a good training camp battle to see who gets out of there.
But let's hold that because I got a trick question for you guys at the end. Let's get into our next. All right. So there's.
You want to do the sponsor real quick before we do the
end? Sure. You want to run it?
Yeah, let's run it.
Today's sponsor is proudly sponsored by Safe Care Transports, Michigan's trusted leader in non-emergency medical transportation. With a fleet of over 20 professional drivers working around the clock, Safe Care is ready whenever you need dependable transportation, day or night. Whether it's a medical appointment, an out-of-state trip, or airport-to-airport service, we're here to get you there safely and comfortably. All our drivers are certified by the state of Michigan and professionally trained to deliver the highest standard of care. If you have Medicaid, Medicare, or have been involved in a motor vehicle accident, your transportation may be fully covered. And we proudly work directly with auto insurance providers to make the process easy for you. At Safe Care Transports, your health, safety, and peace of mind are always our top priorities. Learn more or schedule your next ride at www.safecaretransports.com. Again, that's www.safecaretransports.com.
All right. Shout out to Safe Care.
All right. Let's go, Serge.
Safe Carry us to the Super Bowl.
Bro, I might hire them to take me down to like Grand Rapids just right. So I can go to Yeah.
We don't need Uber. They will. Man, just call me up, man.
They will. They will take you to Ford Field. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
They will take you anywhere you want to go.
Nice.
All right. Thanks, Serge. All right, here we go. Next round. We're in the deep seven. Swallows. We're in seven. We got a, what is that, bro? Safety? What's SAF?
Yep, safety.
Yep.
We got the last two safety. Georgia boys.
We got a white safety out of Georgia.
Emphasis Daniel. On white.
When might the last time he was in Georgia, so he might have a tan.
The last time you've seen a white safety out of Georgia.
Dan. Good old Dan.
Daniel Jackson. Now, listen, this is the year of the white safety because, you know, the Iowa safety just got a pick in the Super Bowl. Yep. And he ran it back for a touchdown. So, hey, they're coming back. You know,
this kid, like, when I saw his tape, Dan Jackson. He literally reminded me of Brian Branch the way he targets people to tackle them. When he targets a running back, dude, he is relentlessly like putting his body, everything on the line to get this guy done. He's a torpedo.
Nice.
He's a good tackler.
So but, once again, 5'11".
Yeah.
So he's not tall, but safeties don't really need to be tall. Yeah. 5'11", 194. He's praised as a leader and tone setter with his urgency and quick reactions to the ball. So just like you said, I mean, you know who else what didn't have a really good high RAS and that's why he dropped to the second round was Brian who?
Brian Branch.
Yeah. And so we swooped up, got him. Yeah. And so maybe this guy's urgency, quickness could be, that's a great comp, bro, is Brian Branch.
Yeah. Like, that's hopefully what he can become one day. But I have, like, seventh round, if you guys have ever watched the Behind the Den or whatever, the seventh round, Brad Holmes every year has our special teams coordinator, Dave Phipp, come into the draft room. And he's like, all right, who are your favorite special teams players? Hmm. And Dave Phipp gives them who's available, who he wants on special teams. And so I didn't have a camera into the draft room, but I expect that he's going to do this again every year. Seventh round, Brad Holmes usually always gets guys for special teams. And once again, he gets a safety, and then he gets a wide receiver. So the safety, he's expecting him on special teams on his tape. Dan Jackson blocked a field goal this past year, which was super sick. And they can use him just on any kind of special team formation. And then our next pick, he's a gunner. So people are like, why do we draft a safety? Like, maybe he'll be depth at one point, maybe, you know, third or fourth on the depth chart at best. But we need special teams guys every year to fill in those gaps.
And he blocked a punt for a touchdown too. So yeah. I think for sure, I think he could be a great special teams player and then grow from there.
Yep. All right. So you say special teams, we value that, Dave Phipp. So Vaki last year got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Did not do as much as we all wanted him to do this year. So correct. Do you see both of them having a spot? Because Vaki came out as a running back and a safety, if you remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the Vaki thing's at. That'd be a good question for training camp when we get there.
We'll get there. We'll ask. We'll get Danny Rogers in the corner and ask her, or Jen, and try to make it work.
I'm gonna ask Coach Campbell. Like, hey, what's up with Vaki?
Bro, what's your plan for him? If we bring our microphone down there, we're gonna get on. I guarantee it. We gotta get there early.
Bring us up a booth.
But the last.
Like a cart, we could bring a cart, bro. Hand out little All Grit podcast tracks and contact cards. Show a video.
I've got tracks. I've got racks. All right, seventh round, 244th pick, a wide receiver out of Georgia, Dominic Lovett. That, what a name, Dominic Lovett. Dominic is 5'10". He's a short little guy, 185 pounds. He was lost in the shuffle at Georgia a lot, but he looked like a star in the making as a sophomore at Missouri. So we'll see. Like you said, once it comes to a seventh round pick, it's kind of just like gun up in the air and shoot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They did say in the interview, they're looking at Lovett to be the next gunner, like on punts. Yep.
Interesting.
So he's got, I think he was a 4.33. Like, he had a fast 40-yard dash, so he'd be, he'd fit right in for gunner. Let him take the hits.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So. All right, boys. Well, that is all of
that
these.
That was a wrap.
Oh, did you want to talk more about him, Clay? I cut you off, buddy.
No, you're good. But I thought the same thing. Like, we have all these guys taking the hits. You know, Cleaves took some hits, got injured. So put a guy out there to take some hits and who's quick and fast.
Yeah.
All right.
He's going to want it.
It's question time. I got one question for you boys, and then I have I got two questions. Let's just say that. All right. Number one, your favorite pick in the NFL draft 2025. Let's go through those names again if you forgot. You got Tyreek Williams, Tate Ratledge, Isaac Tesla, Miles Frazier, Ahmed Hassanin, Daniel Jackson, and Dominic Lovett. So we'll start with Adrian.
I think my favorite pick is Tate Ratledge. I think that, you know, with Kevin Zeitler leaving, that left a hole, and we didn't know what's going to happen next with Graham Glasgow's game kind of going on a decline as he's getting older. So he's going to fit perfect into our scheme as a run blocker. I can't wait to watch him in a game. And it's like, we want to make what we're good at even better. So our run game was our focus last year. Let's make it even better. We drafted a guard out of Georgia that, like Caleb, you said, only allowed 2 sacks. And this guy gets after it. So he was my favorite pick because of what he's going to be able to do for us on offense this coming season. He's a day one starter.
All right, Clayson.
Well, your favorite. That Adrian just said, like, I think he's going to be a beast. He's everything a lion. He's a lion. Like, he's everything that Holmes is building, and it's going to be great. Like, he's, like you said, day one out there hustling.
Yeah, and moving bodies.
Yep.
So you're slapping off of Adrian. Is that what you're
saying? I am, but
bulldozer.
I'll be my own for a second. I am really excited for Isaac Tesla and for our wide receiver room.
He's the most intriguing. I want to see it.
This will really make our wide receiver room stand out. You know, we have St. Brown, we have Williams, but dude, like, I think we can really get somebody who's in for the long haul. All these other guys, Tim Patrick 1 year, you know, Raymond, like, he's returning punts, but I think this could really I don't know how to say that word, but really solid in our squad of wide receiver.
Yeah. He's a good compliment to what we have going on.
All right. So I mean, to be honest with you guys, I'm stuck somewhere between Tate Ratledge, the guard, and Isaac Tesla, wide receiver. Really? Like, you guys covered them perfectly. So I'm going to blow your minds with my favorite pick. You ready?
Go for it.
Sixth round pick.
Ahmed
Hassan. This dude, all right. This is just, what did they say?
I saw a meme online that's like, man, Ahmed's jersey is going to go hard in Dearborn. Oh, man. Dearborn's going to be rocking his jersey, bro.
Bro, Dearborn, oh, my gosh. Think about this, though. If something happens, and I'm knocking on wood, if something happens to Davenport, which, my God.
When it happens, you mean?
When it happens to Davenport. No, I'm going to say if, because I feel like he can do this year. But if Davenport gets hurt, they will be pressed to run this dude. And I'm going to call it right now. If that happens, if Davenport's out for the season or out for weeks, and this dude's got to come in off the bench to do, like, you know, reps with Josh Pascal or whatever.
Yeah.
He could sleekily be the defensive end that we need with Hutch.
Yeah. I mean, the more reps he can get to develop, the better.
Yes. And for him, he's relentless. His tape is relentless work. Yeah. And when you pair that with Hutch, and when he meets Hutch and he gets working with Hutch, that's only going to make him want it more. Just like all these wide receivers like Tesla going to hang out with Amon-Ra. Going to hang out with J-Mo. Like, that's just, iron sharpens iron, bro. We know that.
But we know Davenport is who Davenport is. Who says Davenport wins the job, man? I think.
Oh.
Really?
I mean, everybody knows how Davenport is. So, I mean, I think the Lions have to know who Davenport is. So.
Yeah.
And if it's this who it takes Davenport to be better, that's a win-win, right?
Yeah.
Does the name Willie Young mean anything to you guys?
Who's that?
Willie Young. He used to be an edge for the Lions years ago. Mm-mm. Look it up. That is who I see comparisons of Ahmad Hassanin.
Nice, man. I still think I want Za'Darius back or someone like him out of free agency.
All right.
And I'll tell you why. Because
Hold that. We're going into our last question, okay, bro?
Wait, one thing about Will Young, the first picture that pops up, he's in Cutler's face. I love it.
Willie Young, bro. Check him out. That's going to be Ahmad Hassanin. I'm telling you. All right, last question. And Adrian's going to start it off because I cut him off. My question literally was, before the start of the season, are the Detroit Lions bringing back Za'Darius Smith?
Like, after all these interviews with Brad, dude, I don't know. Like, it's weird. I can't read him whether he's going to get an edge or not. I don't know if you guys saw the interviews, like the way he's talking to the media about edge. He's like annoyed. Like, he doesn't want to bring someone in now, like, I feel like on purpose, right, to prove a point, like, that he's good with what he has. So I really don't know if they'll get him in, but I want Zadarius in. Like, I know Davenport's going to get hurt like week three and he's going to be out for the season. He looks great the first two games. Like, when he played the first two games, he looked amazing.
Yeah,
but then he gets hurt. Like, he's at the end of his career where he's just falling apart. And then Ahmed, I really don't know what to expect at the NFL level. Like, this kid's raw. We know he just started playing football 4 years ago. He's learning. Give him like year two, year three. Maybe he could be maybe a starter, just like a solid player on starting, but not this year. So I want Zadarius back so that we can get a deep playoff run. That's my take on that.
Clay, your feeling on if the Lions are going to bring back Zadarius Smith?
100%. He's coming back.
Oh.
I think everybody has seen him. They talk to him. He lets people record him talking about him to coming back to Lions. He's always smiling. And also, the Detroit Lions did something after the draft. They signed Jackson Meeks. And Jackson Meeks is the nephew of Sundarius Smith.
Ooh. Are you kidding me, bro?
Undrafted free agent, right?
Is this breaking news?
This was like a day after the draft.
Yeah, right? This is like 12 hours ago.
All right, so let's say that again to our listeners in the back. We have a nephew of Zadarius Smith on the Lions team.
The Detroit Lions signed Syracuse wide receiver Jackson Meeks as an undrafted rookie free agent following the conclusion of the 2025 NFL draft. It is noticed that the wideout is the nephew of veteran defensive end Zadarius Smith.
All right,
sparking even more hype.
Yeah, get Z back.
We need a drop for
spend time with a nephew.
We need a drop
and
for
Zadarius' girlfriend, Emily. Lives in Detroit.
Yep.
His girlfriend lives in Detroit. It's like all signs are pointing to him coming back, and we all need him. So
in all honesty, let's say his contract was worth $6 million, right? And they said, you know what, we can't afford that for an edge, blah, blah, blah. Lions come back and they reach out to the agent and say, listen, will you sign for $4 million for 1 year?
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And he wants
he loves it. What we did in the draft. You know, like if we got a second round edge, he ain't coming.
Right. Because he knows that he's not gonna play.
Good guy. But now that you know we didn't really get anybody, you'll have a spot. You'll be the starter.
Which is exactly what Aaron Rodgers wanted the Pittsburgh Steelers to do, or the Minnesota Vikings.
Bro, don't talk about him on this podcast, bro.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn was like, do you want to play football? He's like, yeah. He's like, ain't going to be here.
Aaron Glenn is a beast, bro.
Bro, shout out to Aaron Glenn. If you're listening, we still love you.
Yes, we do.
The other guy there, not the other guy in Chicago.
He Magic Johnson him. He ain't going to be here.
Yeah. Unlike coach at the Chicago Bears, what's his name? Benjamin?
Benford.
Yeah. We don't care for that guy. All right, boys. Well, man, we ran our... We ran long, bro. We're coming up on an hour, but hopefully everybody listening really appreciates the deep dive that we're doing with the All Grit podcast. You know, we try to do our deep dives as much as we can. There's some still players that we don't know. Forgive us. We're not getting paid to do this stuff. We're just diehard fans, you know. We're just diehard fans. We're all working 9 to 5s. Well, not me, but those two are. I don't know, Johnny Almonds. You're not a 9 to 5 guy. You're like, you fly by the seat of your pants, bro.
Wherever they need me. Oh, trade show. Okay, I gotta go. Bye bye.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So listen, we're gonna hook back up with everybody. It's about to go into quiet season, isn't it, Adrian?
Yeah, just about. We'll see if there's any free agency movements coming here in the next couple weeks after the draft. Yep. If we do, we'll have someone out for everybody. Maybe we'll have a guest. We'll try to get a guest on and mix it up. And look out, because we'll be starting season 2 pretty soon of the All Great Podcast. Season 2 coming right at you.
And by that, we mean we are going to have a new opening sounder by one of our close friends, Gabe Roberts, a.k.a. Faceless. So look for that in the next episode, because by the time that we film or that we record the next episode, we might be scrolling into season 2, which we're going to get into spring training. We're all going to go. We're going to get interviews with the guys. We're going to have Jen Hammond. We're going to have Danny Rogers. We're going to have everybody that we can get to talk to you at home so you can be locked in with the All Grit Podcast. What do you think about that, boys?
Yes, sir.
Love it.
All right.
Let's do it.
The All Grit Podcast. This is your humble host with OC Adrian, the stat guy Clay. We're out.